And then in Luke chapter 4, verse 11, when he went into the temple to read, as was his practice, the word says, he was handed the book of Isaiah, and he quoted Isaiah 66:1. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and the needy, to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight back to the blind." And where I want to focus, to set at liberty those that are bruised. Depending on your translation, I think I'm taking this from the King James. To set at liberty those that are bruised. Now, in Isaiah 53, there's a description of the passion. And the Word of God tells us that he was, I'll jump in where it says, "Surely he has borne our infirmities and our sorrows." And Strong says that that can be properly translated as our diseases and our pains. It goes on to say that we didn't esteem him, but that he was bruised for our iniquity, and he was wounded for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. And what I want to look at is the word bruised in the phrase that says he was bruised for our iniquity. Now, iniquity speaks of the deep effect of the fallen nature as a result of the fall and the potential that it has to be affected, especially by sin. And the bruise that I want to talk about is the bruise that comes from the practice of shedding innocent blood, and in particular, the bruising that takes place within the soul of an individual that takes place or takes part in an abortion. And what happens is, in the participation of that particular wrong choice, it goes against the very nature of the design of both the man and the woman that are involved. And it, the effect of participation in it goes deep, creates a deep, deep-seated wound, a bruise. And I shared this today, I'll share it again tonight. You think of the wounds for our transgressions. Wounds are outward wounds that you can see there on the surface, like a cut or an abrasion, and its effect, causing bleeding on the outside portions. But a bruise is that inner deep wound that causes, generally speaking, as a result of a blow, causes like a hematoma. And you'll see the rupturing of the blood vessels and the pouring out of the blood within the flesh, and it'll come to the surface and turn black and blue, and you'll realize you got a deep bruise there. And in the case of the sin of the bruising that comes from the sin that I'm referencing, it's a deep-seated wound, and again, it goes against the very design and the nature of the woman and, make note, the man as well that's involved. And it even goes further than that, because when you study Romans 1 with the progression there of the progress of discipline and its effect, it speaks of mankind or the people group or the individual being turned over to a reprobate mind and reprobate thinking as a result. But it not only nails and talks to the individual that's involved, but it also goes on to say and make the connection that it also bruises and affects those that support it. And so what happens is when this bruising takes place is that even though the individual in the forefront of their mind have agreed and maybe even have their rational support for their conviction of the practice, or whatever sin it may be, but in this particular sin, the one that I'm talking about, in their subconscious mind, in their soul, this bruising establishes a root. And it's a root, and it can grow into a root of bitterness. And in Hebrews chapter 12, the Word of God counsels us not to let any root of bitterness take root, because it will grow up and defile the individual, and that's what a bruise will do. It'll fester and infect and grow, and it goes from a form of what's basic evil, that which is against God. The word evil is translated from the Greek word in the New Testament, blasphemy, and sometimes blasphemy is directly translated as blasphemy, but more often it's translated as evil. And I like to throw in there, when you take the word evil, evil is defined as that which is against God. Okay, evil, blasphemy is that which is against God, and then put a D on the front of it, and you got the devil who's against God. Okay, but anyways, so what happens is this bruising gets a foothold, festers. It's a form of kakos, intrinsic evil, and it grows and it becomes infectious and takes on the stage of what's called poneros evil. And poneros evil is the infectious form and stage, and that defiles the individual, whether they're aware of it or not. It defiles and has an effect on their overall thinking and their experience. And it begins to plague them. And then as it reaches the fulfillment of the poneros stage in effect, it then goes from there and begins to affect others. And that's why in Hebrews 12 it says, don't let a root of bitterness get a hold, because it will grow and defile you. And then it will also seek to defile others. And when it begins to infect and defile others, then it enters into what's called this conspiratorial form, where it does infect and influence others, and they join ranks with it in terms of being unknowingly influenced by it. And so that you have the condition that Isaiah writes about, the whole head is sick and the mind is full of putrefied wounds and bruises, and on he goes. And so... And what happens is, like I said, because it's in the sin of abortion, it goes against the very design, not only of the woman, but the man as well that's involved. And then the people that are involved and those that support it. And back to Romans chapter 1, it gives the illustration, example of men and women exchanging their natural design for that which is unnatural. And he references homosexuality and the practice of it. And then it goes on to say, even though they do this, even though they know that the sin itself, according to Leviticus, is worthy of death. And then he goes on to say, and I'll repeat it, and it, the effect is such that it not only affects them, but those that support it. Now, how does this apply to the nation? Okay. On a national level, we're in a very serious stage in terms of the number of abortions that have taken place. I believe, personally, my conviction is that it's the number one issue that needs to be repented of and forsaken. Because I believe, when you take a look back, and I believe God showed me this as I was studying this, meditating on it, you take a look back, one of the fruits of this whole process that I'm talking about and of deep bruising is the people are left in misery, being plagued. And they begin to express it in anger towards others, anger towards themselves, anger towards all that's going on. They may find another, something else to blame, but its root is in this bruising. And statistically right now, I heard yesterday being repeated on the radio that 1 in 3 women have had an abortion in our nation. 1 in 3. And in the minority, especially in the black minority race, it's much, much higher than that. We had Liz Joy here speaking on a Sunday morning, and she noted that in New York City, that there are more abortions taking place daily than there are births. And I believe that much of the anger and the outrage that you're seeing expressed in the riots and on the streets and in the whole political scene is as a result of the effects of the bruising of this Holocaust that's from the legalization of abortion. And I went to heard of a conference that took place recently with the pro-life movement where they had a speaker commenting on this. And they were noting that when the organization NOW rose up, and NOW standing for the woman's movement, the feminist movement. What's that? National Organization of Women. Well, if you've ever been to one of their rallies, and they were at one in protest, one of the recent, about 5 years ago, their speech and their whole presentation is one of anger and filth and outrage. And what they were saying at this conference was that they believe that the rising and the expression of the same is as a result of a whole, if you will, trend of the time when it took place of the women that had experienced abortions, and this was coming out 40 years later. And now I believe it's coming out on a national level as well. And so I bring this out because I believe part of what's taking place, even with the results of the election when it's gone, is that God is speaking. Pastor Eric closed last Wednesday with 1 Peter 3, where he says that judgment begins in the house of God. And I think that God is going to be speaking and revealing to us on a national level that we need to wake up, and we need to strengthen the feeble knees and the legs that are wobbly. Back to Hebrews chapter 12. Something I saw there in studying in Hebrews 12, the author goes into description of the discipline of God and his chastening and scourging of his children. And on the first presentation, when you read it, it's obvious he's talking to us as believers, that if we're not bastards, if we're legitimate children and we get off, God will discipline us. But even for us as believers, and this is where you'll have to take, as a deep calls unto deep in Psalm 42, take a real serious look on it, look at it in meditation. As God is chastising for the sins that I'm referencing and the forsaking of him and his laws and his covenants and his ordinances, we as believers are going to experience the fruits of chastisement. But the promise that comes out is that even this chastisement, as we experience as God is dealing with us as a national group, the promise and the hope is that it will produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And so thank God tonight that Jesus proclaimed to be the fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied. And we in turn have been anointed as believer priests to be able to minister in the same realm, in the same way. Mark gave me a scripture this afternoon. It's in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mark. 12:18. Proverbs 12:18. And it says there that, is that a wave in the back? Okay. It says there that the words of the wise are health. The words of the wise are health. And so as we speak and we minister to those that are hurting. Remember this. Although I don't like what's going on, what's going down, and the names that are of those that are involved, but until a real revival takes place and God moves and we experience true repentance on these items, it'll continue. And we need to be available to minister to those that are hurting because they need Christ. They need the gospel. And it is I am not ashamed of the gospel, back to Romans 1, because it is the power of salvation to those that will believe. And it's the words of the gospel that can bring healing and set at liberty those that are captive to this bruising that I'm speaking and referencing to tonight. I don't have time to really go into all that I want to go into. But I just want to encourage us to consider what's really going down. Because, what I did want to say is, remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Consider where they're heading if they don't change. You fill in the name, okay? Our battle is not against flesh and blood in Ephesians 6 and 10. So we're to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Recognize what we're truly up against and draw near and go to God and let God use us. As our introductory offering was brought forth, God wants to use every one of us in mighty ways to bring deliverance and bring healing, because he has anointed us to preach the gospel, to give sight back to the blind, to heal the brokenhearted, and to set at liberty those that are captive, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen? Okay, so Father, I just ask that you take these thoughts, the outline that I've given, and with each and every one as they seek you, just bring them further into the revelation that you have for them along this line. In Jesus' name we pray. And if you're here tonight or listening on whatever form of media that it's going to be put out onto, and you are not saved, and perhaps you're even have been touched by this message and are experiencing the deep-seated bruising from the sin and its effect on you, perhaps maybe because of somebody else's decision, if you want to be set free and healed, I ask you to receive the gift of healing, the gift of salvation, that Jesus Christ died and shed his blood to pay for, to set you free. Please pray with me and say, "Dear Jesus, I hear, I need you tonight. And I ask you to come into my heart, appropriate your blood, forgive me of my sins, and save me. I pray, and I receive you as my Savior by faith. And I'm putting all my trust in you, and I ask, heal me, heal me, heal me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." If you're here tonight and you've